You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Everyone, a very warm welcome back to William Hill's US Sports Podcast. Sam Norris and Stephen back with you once again to look ahead to the remaining Week 13 games. We've already had three games taking place this week on Thanksgiving. We'll be looking ahead to the televised matches, four of them in total, a little look at everything else on the slate, and we've got a busy night of basketball as well, so we'll pick out a couple of NBA bets to hopefully go out on Friday night also. As mentioned, Stephen back is alongside me. You good?
I'm good. Happy Black Friday.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, happy Black Friday, indeed. Have you made any purchases yet?
I have not, no. It's one of those things where when you work nights, you kind of wake up and you go to work and you think, oh, wait, I've got to take advantage of this at some point. Yeah. So maybe when you're in the office, have a quick look on your phone when you're having a break or something. But no, it's business as usual at the minute.
Good. Plenty of games to get stuck into this week. Just before we dive into them, reactions from the Thanksgiving games. Three quite entertaining games, really.
Three entertaining games. We found the god of onside kicks for the Falcons. Yeah. How he managed to recover three in a row. One was taken back and he still recovered it. Even though he can't kick an actual field goal, he can kick an onside kick with the best of them. In fact, we saw four onside kicks recovered on Thanksgiving Day with the strange play by your Lions.
Oh, yeah. Which
with Matt Prater absolutely drilling it, drilling it against the first defender, which...
I liked that, though.
It's if you can nail it, it was bloody impressive because we were in the office and we were like... Did he mean that? Yeah, he must have meant that because he absolutely drilled it. Because
you need to be quite accurate to pull that off. But
well, that's the point of being a kicker. Yeah, you hope they're accurate, but to be able to nail his leg while he's looking the other way was impressive. But another disappointing performance from the Cowboys, of which they hoodwinked me. I really should have looked into the record and the fact that they have not beaten a winning team this season. They have not covered against a winning team this season. So they just continue to go downhill, and it looks like Jason Garrett will be out the door at the end of the season now, I'd say.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? Interestingly as well, the Bills this season have been a real punter's pal. They lead the league for covering the spread. Last night's win, obviously, they were +6.5. They ended up winning the game. That makes them 8-3-1 against the spread this year. Best record in the league. So the Bills have been kind to bettors this year.
To be fair, I think they've been underrated a lot of the times when it comes to the Lions on the betting.
Yeah,
They've been quite... underrated for the fact that because they play in the AFC East and they've got two cupcake teams in their division, so they've got four easy games on the slate. They've had a number of other easy games other than the absolutely throttling by the Eagles. I say they haven't really looked well other than when they played the Pats, because it was the Pats.
Yes.
Other than when they got throttled by the Eagles, I say they haven't really had a bad game that they've played all season, I'd say.
On to the remaining games. So starting with an absolute cracker, the best game of the week by a country mile comes up at 6 o'clock. The Niners at the Ravens, 43-20 for the Niners. The Ravens are 20-51. The spread here is 5.5. +5.5 for the Niners is 10-11. -5.5 for the Ravens is 10-11. And that line's moved a little bit since it opened. I think the Ravens were slightly more heavily favoured originally.
Opened at 4.5.
It opened at 4.5.
4.5. So it's going further in favour of the Ravens. I've heard in places
I'm
it was
pretty sure I saw six at one point. Yeah,
it was 6 at one point and it's come back to 5.5, but it opened at Ravens 4.5.
Oh, fair enough. I thought it opened at 6, to be fair.
No, it's gone the other way.
Okay, the points here, 46.5 is the point spread, 10-11 over and under. As I said, unquestionably the game of the week, 10-1 Niners who are on the road at the 9-2 Ravens. Lamar Jackson really took a stranglehold on the MVP betting last week, where he just trashed the Rams. 5 touchdown passes, I think it was. He's now 1-2 to win MVP, with Russell Wilson going out to 5-2. It's beginning to look a bit more like a one-horse race. This is going to be billed as a titanic battle between Lamar Jackson versus this San Francisco 49ers defense, which has been really good this year. But I kind of remember everybody building up the Patriots game as Lamar Jackson versus a really good defense, and we all know what happened there. Can he be stopped at the moment?
Short answer, no. I mean, he is on historic run. I mean, the stat was that was his Monday Night Football debut, and he's the first QB ever to have 5 touchdowns on his debut on Monday Night Football.
Really?
That's how well he played. The Ravens are absolutely destroying teams. They're the first team in NFL history to win three games in a row by 34 or more. First team ever to do that, and this is a second-year quarterback.
Incredible.
They've scored 30 points on the last five games, 30 or more. So we all think that they just look like a team. You can't stop them because Jackson is just such electrifying talent. Like we all thought, he's just a running quarterback, and literally he's just a running back who throws, whereas now he's almost the complete package. Yeah. I mean, he's not throwing the deep ball, but he's just... He throws when he needs to. He runs when he needs to. He doesn't rely on one too heavily. I mean, he only had 169 passing yards in that game, but five touchdowns. They didn't need to. I mean, they've built that offense and that entire system around him to accentuate what he's good at. They're such a good running team. He throws it when they need to. I mean, five passing touchdowns isn't anything to scoff at. He still had 95 rushing yards. I am all aboard this Ravens train at the minute. I mean, neither of us picked them in the preseason, which...
Nope.
Shame on us, really.
Yeah, and I really like the Browns for this division as well, which is.
I liked the Steelers, of which that all went tits up very quickly.
I suppose this is mainly because, as you mentioned, it's mainly because of the perception we all had of Lamar Jackson preseason. No one expected this. As you said, you know, people questioned his ability to throw the ball. Is there going to be much of a passing game, or is he just a glorified running back? And no one could have foreseen this.
Exactly. I mean, this is how good the Ravens' offense have been in the last three. Some of you might have seen this online. So in the last three games, the Ravens have only punted twice.
That is incredible.
Both times they punted, RG3 was at quarterback.
Oh, so,
Lamar has not... The Ravens have not punted once when Lamar Jackson has been at quarterback for the series. That's how good the Ravens have been in the last three
incredible.
Games.
And I suppose, you know, we talk about Lamar Jackson, and rightly so, but actually their defense are really stepping up as well. And this is the reason why they're winning games by big margins. Restricted the Rams to just a couple of field goals last week. On top of that, I think I might have mentioned this last week, but they've got probably the best kicker in the league as well. Just had the cherry on top of the cake.
They are almost a complete team right now. I mean, in the AFC, it is all coming down to now. As much as we'd like the Chiefs preseason, it is literally the Ravens at the Patriots. Mm. And for me, it is still... I said this on the podcast, I think it was last week or the week before. Who gets home field? If it's the Ravens in Foxborough, if it's like it is, we'll come onto the Patriots. But if it's the weather conditions like it was last Sunday when the Cowboys went to New England, then I'd fancy New England to play in that kind of weather. But if the Baltimore Ravens manage to snatch home field advantage of the AFC, then I can't see that everything runs through them for me.
We're obviously purring about the Ravens, and rightly so. But this is going to be a competitive ball game, fingers crossed, because the Niners... got a bit of a statement win really last week against one of their conference rivals. Big win for the NFC. They beat the Packers 37-8, and they are still the possessors of the best record in the NFL. I can absolutely see why the Ravens are favourites, and Jackson just looks unstoppable. But we'd better mention the Niners, because then they're not a bad number in this.
We had better mention the Niners. They got George Kittle back last week. He was 6 for 6 on his targets and receptions, 129 yards and a touchdown. So he was back to his good self and looking like the best tight end in the league, and justifiably so. For me, in that game, it was all about the Niners' defense and how they just completely shut down Aaron Rodgers and that entire Packers offense, who we vaunted during the season, recorded 5 sacks on him. But for me, it's different when Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, but he's nothing in terms of nobility on Jackson. Jackson? No, because Jackson's wheels are unparalleled as a quarterback in the NFL. It's ridiculous. Looking to this game, the Niners have not beaten the Ravens in Baltimore since they left Cleveland. Obviously, this franchise was moved.
Yep.
They're 2-4 all time against the Ravens, straight up on the money line. So it's going to be a first for the Niners. Obviously, West Coast teams don't do very well traveling to the East Coast, and it's the early game for them. So will the jet lag and the time difference make a factor? I think it will. Like I said, the lines moved out from 4.5. They opened up with the Ravens now to 5.5, and I'm still confident of taking that 5.5. Until we get to a touchdown, that's when I'd start being a bit dicey with the Ravens. But anywhere between that 4.5, 5.5, even 6.5, once he reaches that number 7, that's when I start getting a bit uneasy. But I think the Ravens definitely the play for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're just unopposable at the moment. There's no real getting away from them. Fingers crossed that matchup delivers. But the Ravens in recent times have just been absolutely trashing teams. So we'll see. On to the 9:25 game now. This one, a bit more of a lopsided look to it in the betting. The Raiders are on the road. They go to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. 4-1 about the Raiders, 1-5 for the Chiefs, plus 10 here for Oakland is 10-11, minus 10 for Kansas City is 10-11, and 51 is the point spread here, 10-11 for the overs and 10-11 for the unders as well. First and second in the AFC West, the Chiefs could obviously take a big step towards winning the division here. Obviously, we saw the Saints seal their division on Thanksgiving, so the Chiefs would, you know, take a massive step towards winning the division if they would beat the Raiders here. We've spoken about the Raiders a few times through the season and sort of come to the conclusion that we've been positively surprised by them in a good way because they've been better than we thought they'd be. But that was an ugly loss to the Jets last week by the Raiders. And if Sam Darnold and company can do that to them, you fear a little bit for them up against Pat Mahomes and this obviously dynamic Chiefs offense. Tyreek Hill is expected to play for them as well. They beat them 28-10 earlier on in the season. I think there'll be a few more points put up here. But it was a worrying show from the Raiders last week.
It was. And again, it goes to that point of the West Coast team going east on an early kickoff. And they just got absolutely throttled. I mean, I had the Raiders winning that game and covering easily. They were 3-point favs in New York. And
it is New Jersey.
New Jersey, but they're called New York Giants. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they just didn't turn up. Plain and simple, they just did not turn up. And it's a worrying sign, but it's a big point spread this game.
It is.
Minus 10 for the Chiefs is a big number. And I haven't seen them. The problem is, if Josh Jacobs and the Raiders can run the ball on the Chiefs, which you've seen as the blueprint to beating them, then I'm not confident at all in taking the minus 10. Taking the Chiefs to win, I'm happy to do that. But 5 on to me is a short price.
Yeah.
You want a bit more money. So might even be looking to the alternates on this one.
Okay.
The alternate spread. So for me, if you wanted to take them minus 6.5, if we've got the price on that, it is so Chiefs by a touchdown. So Chiefs minus 7 is 6-10.
Yeah.
That would be something I'd be slightly more inclined to take. Minus 10 for me is a big spread. So I'd probably be going the other way on the Raiders, plus 10. But Chiefs minus 7 for me is a bit more of a, if you want to go on the Chiefs direction, is a bit more entertaining to me. But on the contrary to what you said with taking the overs and the points in this one, the last 11 times these two teams have faced in Kansas City, the under's 10-1.
Oh, really? Blimey.
So this is the two teams that haven't scored as many as you'd think. And the problem is because with the Chiefs, if the ball gets run down them and they can't control the clock, they can't put as many points on the board as you'd think.
Yeah.
So this is quite a high number for me. So I'd actually be going the opposite way to you, and I'd probably take the under.
Okay.
And the under, and then it depends what line we kick off at. If it's 9.5, I might be more inclined. But for me, if we go minus 7 on the alternate, 6-10, or just take the Raiders plus 10 for now.
Yeah. And as you say, you're going to get a little bit of joy on the ground against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And with, you know, Josh Jacobs in the fold. Is he rookie of the year in your eyes? Looks a two-horse race.
It's a two-horse race between him and Kyler Murray. I think whoever has the stronger finish.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'd probably shade it just towards Kyler Murray. I mean, based on the back of that performance that the Raiders had, isn't going to help Josh Jacobs. And Murray has been consistent throughout the season, I'd say. He's not been spectacular, but he's been consistent. You can rely on him.
Yeah.
Jacobs has been the other way. He's had some spectacular games, and then like this week, he just ran cold. So I think the consistency would shade it to Murray slightly for me.
The primetime matchup this week then is the New England Patriots at the Houston Texans. The Patriots are 4-7. The Texans are 31-20. The spread here, minus 3.5 for the Patriots, even money, plus 3.5 for the Texans is 5-6. And it's a flat 45 for the points this time, 10-11 over and under. Once more on the point spread. Not often we disagree too much, but you thought the Pats would cover last week, and I went for Dallas to cover. So let's start with that. Well done to me.
Was it well done to you?
Yes,
it
was.
What was the final line it went off at?
6.5, and it finished. Oh, it did.
Well done to you, then. Well done to you.
Well done to me.
Fair play. Although we were both right, I think, on taking the under.
Because it was proper Foxborough conditions.
That was New England football at its finest, that one.
Absolutely. It was an efficient win for New England in the end, no more than that, but that's what they've done for years and years. The Texans obviously got the big divisional win against the Colts last week, bouncing back from being humbled by the Ravens, although everyone's getting humbled by the Ravens at the moment. And as I say, just efficiency from New England last week. They did a job on the Cowboys and they've become so adept at that, just getting results. This is an interesting matchup for them against the Texans.
It is, but the worry for me with the Patriots is the sheer amount of players that they've got injured and doubtful for this game. I mean, last week their receiving core was depleted to the point where they're having to sign undrafted free agents.
Yep.
No Mohamed Sanu. basically all they had was the Nikhil having to go to the rookie Nikhil Harry, and they had Julian Edelman. That was about it, other than having to get guys off the shelf. This week they've had, I think, a flu bug supposedly going around the camp. So they had Brady was limited in practice, and then they had four offensive and defensive linemen that are all out. There was Chung, Hightower, all guys on the key cogs in their defense that were out of practice during the week because of illness. So will there be any lingering effects for that for this game? Obviously, the point spread's 3.5, but we are favoring the Texans at 5-6, and it's even money for the Patriots. Looking at this, it does worry me, the Pats' offense. The defense for me is going to stand out, and that's is Deshaun Watson going to be able to deal with this Patriots defense, and especially the secondary? I mean, finally, D-Hop had a game. He showed out for a game last week. He had, 94 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. Will Fuller stole a show with 120 receiving yards, and Watson was 298 yards, 2 TDs, in the win over the Colts, which for D-Hop is an overdue big game.
Because
I think, I am not in a fantasy league, but I know a lot of guys who have him who drafted high are livid at the fact that he just doesn't seem to get any touchdowns. He's like, he was almost turning into Julio Jones at this point, where he puts up so many yards, but he never seemed to get any.
Did he go 11 weeks without a touchdown last season or something ridiculous like that?
Julio Jones.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. For me, I'd still lean towards the Patriots, because it's another one of these. It's like the Ravens now. I just don't bet against the Patriots. Sure. Even though I was wrong last week, and I will succeed to you, I don't go against the Patriots for me. Even though it's in Houston, although looking at the betting, it's the other way around. So the Texans, well, saying that, the Texans have not got a good record against the Patriots. They're 1-9 straight up in the last 10 versus New England. 2-7-1 against the spread. So it would lean towards the Patriots. Only thing that's going in their favour is the home team in this matchup is 8-2-1 in the last 11. But the only other thing I'll take is the unders, just because of that strong Patriots defence. The unders 4-0 in the last 4.
Okay. The Patriots are choice then. One final point on this just before we move on. You mentioned the depleted receiving corps that they are struggling with. There were murmurs last week that Antonio Brown might be back in the equation, that the Patriots had just had a look. I think the exact quote was that they kicked the tires.
Kicked the tires. Is this going through the recesses of NFL Twitter and Reddit kind of thing? It's trying to find...
Yeah, it was a... I think it might have been the New England beat reporter or someone reported anyway that they just had a look at Antonio Brown.
They had a fleeting look in the shop window, and I think they walked past the shop window. I think at this point, I think for him, I can't see anyone taking a punt on him at this point. All the antics he's been up to and everything off the field.
He did.
I mean, the Patriots are the one team that for me is going to take a flyer on a guy like that.
Yeah.
They did, and then even they booted him out. It's not good. Not good looking forward to Antonio Brown for me.
He did also apologise to Robert Kraft last week as well, which I think got the rumour mill swirling
a little bit more. Right, okay. I know he's going to have Brady back for him, Earl, because Brady was the number one guy trying to get them to sign Antonio Brown.
And he
was supposedly upset that he wasn't going to... that he didn't get kept on by the Patriots. Although with Brady's future up in the air, we don't know. Obviously, he sold his house in New England. He's got this year left on his contract, so... Is he going to be a Patriot for life? I still think he will be, but we'll wait and see.
Monday Night Football then comes from Seattle with the Vikings in town to take on the Seahawks. 5-4 for the Vikings, 20-29 for the Seahawks. +3 Minnesota is 5-6, -3 Seattle is even money. And over 50 points is 10-11, under 50 points is 10-11. We were both flabbergasted last week to see the Seahawks underdogs when we recorded against the Eagles. They eventually went off favourites, but it took an age for the market to kind of
catch up,
come round to it. Yeah,
and we were justifiably right.
Yeah, we were. I think they only went favourites kind of early Sunday afternoon here. It took ages for them to eventually go off favourites. They didn't disappoint for those of us who backed them last week, and I was on the money line, despite Russell Wilson trying to make it competitive. What a wonderful season he's had, but he failed to hit Hollister on an absolute dolly. It was a real, real easy pass and catch. He just overcooked it from, I don't know, 10 yards. I was getting a bit nervy at that point, but they prevailed to get the win. They're probably one of the best teams in the NFC for me, and I like them again this week. The Vikings are off a bye week, and they should make a game of it, but this point spread looks manageable, and with slight reservations sometimes about the Niners and the Packers, I think the Seahawks might sneakily be one of the best teams in this conference.
I'd agree. Well, the other one I'd say is the Saints.
Yeah,
don't
of course,
sleep
yeah,
on the, don't
yeah,
sleep
yeah.
on the Saints in the NFC.
True.
The funny thing is with this game, I think if it wasn't for this, the Ravens-Niners game at 6 o'clock, this would be the game of the weekend. Yeah. I'd say. But because of all the hoopla with the two, arguably two of the best teams in the league facing each other, which I think is a shame. It's a 6 o'clock game, but you can't really have the Niners playing Sunday night twice in a row.
Yeah.
I think that's a prime time game yeah. at its finest there. But
they'd probably prefer that though because of the time differences. As
they'd prefer yeah, that, so as, I think the Ravens mentioned. Are probably happier at 6 o'clock. Sure. But back to this game, this is going to be another one of those examples of can Kirk Cousins for the Vikings turn up in prime time. Yeah. He's done it once this season, but admittedly it was only against the Redskins. But they're an improving team, the Vikings, and this is going to be an interesting combination of the Vikings run the ball so well. Seahawks have got a good defense, but it's when you've got a team that runs the ball, obviously it's going to be a low-scoring game. And can Seattle continue to squeak out these close wins? I mean, I was surprised that last week Seattle won 17-9, which would have meant my 1-6 bet was out the window, which I suggested to the listeners, which was 15-4. Again, if you want to go down that route again this week, Seattle 1-6 is 10-3. But I like Seattle in this one at home. Not sure what the weather conditions will be like, but if it's going to be a cold Seattle night, obviously Minnesota is a cold area, but it's an indoor stadium, so it's a bit different playing in those conditions. So I like Seattle taking the points -3 at even money.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good bet. I'd forgotten that you call it 10-3 instead of 100-30 as well.
Sent
a shiver down my spine to hear 10-3.
This is the difference between the boys that trade and play and pre-match boys that do the horse racing. But yeah. Sorry to anyone that is offended by my numbers, but yeah, 10-3 is what we call it, but 100-30.
Yeah,
that's what it says on the screen. I'd say. But I'd say take Seattle. Looking at it, Seattle have won 5 in a row versus the Vikings. The last time they lost to them was in 2009. Although the Vikings are on a run, they've won 6 of the last 7. Seattle have won 4 in a row, so it should be a good competition for me. The only other thing to look for outside of this game for the Seahawks, I did suggest it the other week, it was the Seattle 2-1 to win the division.
Yeah.
They're now 17-10 for the NFC West, which is still a goer. If they get the win here and
the Niners get
turned over by the Ravens, then it's a very real bet. So this is, I think this is your last opportunity, really, to get them at a good price after a good price of which they've got a realistic opportunity to win. After this point, I think it's almost dead and buried.
Okay. Anything else on the slate then ahead of week 13? Obviously, we've already had 3 games, so we've mentioned 4 of them. So that's dealt with the majority. But was there anything else standing out to you?
There's a few. Well, there's one that both of us agree on, which is the Packers -6.5.
Yeah, I like that.
Packers got absolutely throttled by the Niners last week, so they're going to want revenge on somebody. Yeah. And the Giants have just been horrific. If it wasn't for that win in Tampa Bay, then they would legitimately be in the same conversation as the Redskins, the Bengals, the Dolphins. They've just been awful. So I think the Packers -6.5 should be an easy cover for them. Looking elsewhere, I like the Bucks money line. Where are we? When I wrote my notes, they were 4-5 on the money line. I'm just trying to find it on the screen.
10-13, now, aren't they? On the money line. Yeah,
there we are. So Buccaneers are now 10-13 on the money line. It's a 2-point spread. They're on the road in Jacksonville. They've been a good team for me, been exciting, and I'm not sold on the Jags anymore. They've gone back to Nick Foles and they've just looked like they've struggled. So if you want to take the -2 now, when I wrote this down, 4-5 was a better price, but so if you want to take the -2 on the points, but I like Buccaneers money line at 10-13.
And the last one, though, what I mentioned as well, and another one that we agree on, I think the Jets -3 against the Bengals. We touched on them earlier on in the podcast. They battered the Raiders last week. The Bengals are going back to Andy Dalton, which might be a bit of a shot in the arm for them. They might play a bit better, but I'm just not interested in trying to make a case for them.
I traded the Steelers-Bengals game on Sunday, and I just couldn't wait for it to end. Yeah. The only good story I will have, though, with the Bengals, I've got to share this, is there's one Bengals fan who is living on the roof of a bar, and he will stay there until the Bengals win a game. So he has been there for 13 weeks now, and there was much hope last week that he would finally come down off the roof. He said he's just so bored up there. But I'm afraid it's going to be a long, long winter for you, my friend. They are going to be staying up there for a while. If you want to look at a few underdogs for me, the only two that are looking on the screen, Steelers at home are 2-point dogs to the Browns. if you were looking for that one. And then I like, for some obscure reason, you've tried to talk me out of this one, was the Cardinals at home to the Rams. They're 2.5-point dogs at home.
Yeah.
The Rams have not looked convincing to me. It might just be the fact that they got destroyed by the Ravens last week that's leaning me towards the Cardinals, but I like the Cardinals at +2.5 at even money.
It was a bet I liked until I looked at their recent history, and the Rams really had their way with the Cards. Won the last four straight, put up 30-plus points in all four games, and they shut the Cards out twice during that run. But you know, I can definitely see the kind of case you're making for them. So lots to enjoy in the NFL then. Let's have a little look at some of the NBA matches as well. If you are listening to us on Friday, we'll spin through some of the games coming up Friday night stroke Saturday morning. Obviously, no basketball on Thanksgiving, so everyone's had a day of rest. The Celtics and the Nets play very early. By the time this podcast goes out, they'll probably be underway. But there's a full slate of games later on. Talk us through a couple of these.
There's a couple of decent games. The one that jumped out for us two is the Dallas Mavericks at Phoenix Suns. This tips off at 2:05 in the morning in the UK. Mavs are 2-point favs on the road, and it has been the Luka show. It's been two teams that have... Well, for me, I was all aboard the Mavericks in the preseason. I thought they would be this good.
You were very strong on them.
And the Phoenix Suns have done a lot better than anyone could have imagined. Everyone penciled them in for another 20 to 30 win season, and they've been competitive so far, which has shut a lot of us in my office up because none of us are on board Devin Booker as a good player at all.
I forgot you don't rate Devin Booker.
It's
The man got 80 points in a game. Was it 80 or 70?
He got 70 against the Celtics last year, and they still lost by 20. that's why none of us care. They've played very well, and they've been a lot better defensively. The veterans they've got in have improved this. But the Mavericks, I just can't get past the talent that is Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in the MVP discussion right now. It's going to be a tough road for him to win it. Obviously, the Mavs, for me, they've got to win between 48-plus wins and be a top four seed for him to be in the conversation. But for this game, they've had the day, everyone's had a day of rest, so no one's coming off a back-to-back. Yeah. Everyone's well-rested and had plenty of time to travel. The Mavericks -2 for me at 10-11 is definitely a bet, but there's plenty to go around on the slate. A great story as well has been the Memphis Grizzlies that everyone thought would be just cannon fodder for every team in the West, mm-hmm. and they've really put up a fight against teams. The Jazz got absolutely smoked in their last game against the Pacers. They lost by 20 on the road. So they'll be looking for a bounce-back win. Jazz are 7-point favourites on the road in Memphis. I like the Grizzlies +7. They played recently and the Jazz in what was Mike Conley's return to Memphis. I think it was last week or the week before. And the Grizzlies got the win. So I like the Grizzlies in this one +7 as well. Other than that, there's plenty of games to go around. You've got the Bucks at the Cavs. Giannis has been on an absolute tear, and they seem to have been on a roll as well, covering the spread, the book. So if you want to have a look, obviously the money line's 2-13, that's a very short price, but -10.5, I think is another good proposition against a struggling Cavs team as well. Anything that jumps out for you?
Just something that we mentioned before we hit record on the podcast, and that's backing overs in Wizards games this year. They tip off at the Staples Center at 3:35. Obviously the Lakers, as you'd expect, are a short price. They're sevens on to win it. The spread's 11.5 here. They're having a really good season, obviously, the Lakers, particularly on defense, actually. And the Wizards, they just don't play any D at all this year. I mean, it's just been an absolute free-for-all watching Wizards games. I watched them a couple of times recently. Watched them against the Spurs a couple of weeks ago, and that was just an absolute barn burner. There were so many points put up in that game. They just have no defense whatsoever. And if you lock up Bradley Beal, you'll beat them, and you'll beat them comfortably. So overs in that game and the Lakers. I mean, the books are beginning to cotton on to the fact that the Wizards are just not keeping teams out at all. So the spreads in those games are very high. 235 tonight. I could see it going over again. And I think the Lakers will cover because they've been a good defensive team this year.
That's the only worry for me on the over on that is just how good the Lakers have been defensively. I think they're still a top two defense in the NBA.
Problem is the Wizards might not score enough.
For that, it's a case of it's just the Wizards scoring enough for you to get the over bet. The only other good story I think that we've missed while we've been doing the podcast is the return of Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, who's actually playing some ball again.
He is. It's a much better showing than what his last time out in Houston.
Yeah.
I think his last game before Thanksgiving, he was 9 of 11 from the field for, I think it was 19 points. Chance of Melo throughout the Moda Center. And they play again tonight on the road in Chicago. It's a nice comeback story for him. I mean, he's still the same, exactly the same Carmelo Anthony is at left, but he's producing in a situation where they just needed production at the wing.
Yeah.
Because the Blazers have been a lot worse than anyone could have imagined, considering they got to the conference finals last year.
Yeah.
And they just seem to have fallen off the cliff. Doesn't help that they've had injuries throughout the roster. Zach Collins going down for seemingly now the rest of the season. Damian Lillard, who's been an iron man for the Blazers, complete wrong end of the country, for the Blazers throughout his career, and he's having back issues at the minute, so he's been in and out of the lineup. So they're just so depleted. Hassan Whiteside, who has not done anything for them, which I was glad to get him off the Miami Heat books.
Yeah.
It's good to see him back and performing. Of which you've now got some numbers for your Lakers Wizards, I think.
Yeah, I changed my mind. I've found the bet I want, actually.
Okay.
Over 123.5 Lakers total points. So rather than playing the whole game, I'll bet the Lakers to get over 123.5. Obviously, as you said, it's been built on the good D this year, but it's not as if they haven't got a raft of scorers in their team who are capable of making baskets, and the Wizards just play no D whatsoever. So the Lakers to go overs on the points, that'll be my choice rather than the full game, because you do make a good point, and I fear for Washington trying to score the basketball tonight.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good bet. They'll probably have their way on the interior. Yes. LeBron, AD. If you're looking at this, there's plenty of markets going around. If you just scroll up, it's not on your odds, but I'm sure if you get your requests in the multi-match to include some stuff with LeBron and AD, get on Twitter, use the hashtag YourOdds, and we'll price it up for you and get it available for you.
Yeah, well, we have props for assists, because LeBron's just been an assist
machine.
He's
leading the league, and he was my first round pick in the NBA, in our NBA fantasy. He's right. Saving me so far. yes, it's a case of in terms of our NBA YourOdds, if we don't have it on the individual schedule for a game, you can still tweet and request pretty much anything in terms of points, rebounds, assists, three-pointers, and we can price it up for you so long as we have the available resources and there's no issues with injuries or questionable lineups. And we can price that up for you. And as it says, as we say on our website, we'll have it on your bet slip on your phone or internet device.
Yeah, do get involved. Make Stephen and the lads do some work. So it's not really your job, I suppose. That
no,
is
it's my. All right, we yeah. do.
You do your odds.
I do your odds for NBA from time to time. If it's my turn to do something.
Yeah.
I've got to earn my paycheck somehow.
Give me LeBron over 11.5 assists and the Lakers over 123.5 points.
Probably. What's the line? It'd be. You're probably looking about 13-8. Probably price like that. Okay. Something like that. I think his line. Roundabout these days, his assist line's around about 10.5, 11.
Yeah.
Because he's averaging 11 a
game.
10.5 is normally your pick line, so depending on what he comes out. Yeah. Considering how poor the Wizards have been, it might be a smidge higher. So that'll probably be a roundabout price. Don't quote me on that if you listen to this podcast at 3 o'clock, but do get your requests in throughout the season and we'll get them to you.
Yeah, people are going to be fuming now when they request that and you give them even money or something.
I'll be in the office then. Whoever's in the office tonight, I'll apologise to them and say, I don't know where they got that from.
You're about to start trading in about 5 minutes' time.
Indeed,
well,
I best get upstairs.
Thank you, and we'll speak again next week.
Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.